Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Joyce Houston. Joyce is retired, but she has worked in public health nutrition for a bunch of years, 35 to be exact, with focus on community education around food, nutrition, and eating well. She has a bachelor's degree with a nutrition focus from Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo, and a master's degree in education from Humboldt State University. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to talk about a book that is a bestseller. It's called In Defense of Food, An Eater's Manifesto. It's a book by Michael Pollan, and Michael's written some other books that I think have gotten people a little concerned about the food that they eat. And so I think people asked him and said, Michael, you know, if a lot of the things we eat are bad, what should we be eating? What sort of guidelines should we use? So he came up with a book, and in the book, he lists some of those things. So the first one is, don't eat anything your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize as food. Why do you think that's a good point there, Joyce?
Well, for one thing, it's going back to basics. You know, your great-grandmother was eating foods that had not been highly processed, were not available in a supermarket, and they were real food.
And they didn't have a lot of people whose job it is to promote these highly processed foods.
There's a whole lot
of money is spent doing that.
Yes. Well, you know, Michael Pollan indicates in his book that there are three areas that have really influenced what people eat, and great-grandma didn't have any influence from them. One of them is the media. One of them is journalists. He was right on. I think that we receive so much but limited information about different food products in this day and age.
I know one of the things he talks about under that category of don't eat anything your great-grandmother wouldn't have recognized as food is don't eat things that wouldn't rot. And it was like Twinkies and things like that that left by their own would sit there for 100 years and probably look identical to how they look today.
Yeah, that's right. I think they taste exponentially more like cardboard over the years.
So another thing that he talks about, and I think it's really important, is that some of these people involved in the food industry have a lot of experience in putting together those sorts of foods that taste especially delicious to us. The sweet, the fat, and the salt. They just kind of heighten all of those things. And I'm just as guilty as the next person. Some of these things are just like hit every button that I have in the food arena.
When you think of the amount of money that the food industry puts into their research about flavor and how the human, you know, flavor buds or taste buds react to certain products or sensations. It's amazing. And certainly they know what's going to hit us right now. I think he makes a really interesting point. I think it was in his last chapter where he talks about something like one of these fast food hamburgers and how, oh my gosh, you smell the aroma. Okay. That's a studied aroma.
Uh-huh.
You take that first bite. And it is that first bite that pulls you in. The rest of the bites aren't necessarily so great, but that first bite and that aroma is what has pulled you in, and they've got you.
I know, and it seems like, too, my husband and I have talked about that. If you eat fast food 2 days in a row, you're hooked. It's like a drug. You're like, okay, then you need your fix. But if you avoid it, it's like you don't feel that temptation.
I think that's really true.
Yeah.
That's true with candies. That's true with a lot of different things that we put into our system.
So one of the other things that Michael says is avoid foods containing A, ingredients that are unfamiliar, B, that they're unpronounceable, or C, that they contain high fructose corn syrup. Why are these three things important?
Those things, I think that those three really kind of hit it. They indicate that a food has been processed and usually processed a lot. So is it real food? No. And Michael refers again and again about these products that are highly processed and avoiding them. For years, I have called them food only spelled it P-H-U-D-E. And he refers to them as food-like products. We're saying the same thing. We're just using different terminology. And it isn't real. It isn't something that is going to do any good for your body over the long term.
So one of the ways that he suggests you can kind of get away from some of these processed foods, and it's something I heard years ago and have done and very successfully, is shopping the periphery of a grocery store.
Yes.
So what's on the periphery that is important?
Well, that's where your less processed foods are. That's where your dairy foods are, your fruits and vegetables, which are of utmost importance, and your meats and fish and, you know, any of those basic foodstuffs. As soon as you start going into the aisles, you get into unrecognizable items.
I've noticed that some stores have even started putting the vegetables down the center of the store. I'm thinking that they're trying to mess with our new system.
Then you simply have two peripheries.
Yes. So one of the other things that Michael says is get out of the supermarket whenever possible, that there are other ways to get delicious, nutritious food.
Yes, and that's true. And he refers a lot to farmers markets. And, you know, we have a farmers market around our area now from April to the end of November. And that's really good when you think of our temperature zone and everything. And then some of the farmers, after the regular farmers market has stopped, continue to have some of their produce available either at their place or at some centralized location.
And then he also talks about, so when you do go buy some of those good foods to eat mostly plants, mm-hmm. especially the leafy plants. Okay. Why is that important?
Because they have nutrients in them and they have value to our bodies that you're going to get more of than you do from a lot of other foods, even other fruits and vegetables. Definitely, I believe that the vegetables as a general category are more important than, say, fruits or the other food products in large quantities.
It seems like sometimes, too, that we get so caught up, or the scientists get so caught up in, we don't want to eat the leafy vegetable. We want to know what is in the leafy vegetable that's good for us. We can just kind of hone it down, put it in a pill, and we can take it.
Yeah.
Sometimes they don't understand the complexity of some of these food
products. And neither do
products.
We.
Yeah.
And neither do
I
we.
Think
and
that's okay.
The whole thing, you know. I've referred to nutrition as a young science for the last 30 years, and it's still a really young science in that, you know, it seems like at least every year there is some incredible recognition of some new, it's not a product, it's some element in foods that is benefiting us that we had no idea even existed. And there it is. And when it's identified, we still don't know the full scope of what its benefits are. And we don't know all of the foods that it might be found in.
Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the other things about eating leafy vegetables or eating vegetables is that they're less energy dense. Mm-hmm. They're foods that kind of take up some space in our stomachs. We feel full. We're not, you know, encouraged to eat a lot more if we have like a big old plate of greens or something like that.
That's true.
Kind of slows us down.
Yeah, it does. And the very fact that we have to chew it slows us down. You know, and this is another area that he really focuses on, and that is slowing down our eating process. When we go to some type of a fast food or takeout or something like that, too frequently it is snarfed down. Whereas if you have a plate that focuses on your greens and then other foods, you're going to be eating more slowly.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of that chewing. Well, we're going to talk more about all of that chewing next week with Joyce Houston. Joyce has been my guest today on Food for Thought.
Come on to my house, I'm going to give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm going to give you apple, plum, and every kind of thing.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.